Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Houston Element Podcast. My name is Missy, and I'm your host. Today, we're doing a special remote session via Zoom because no artist is too far. Okay, there's a lot of good people out there, and we need to talk to them. And representing Austin, we have 3D Friends.
What's up? You know, honestly, I represent all of Texas. I've kind of lived all over the place. I was actually born and raised in Houston, so
H-Town represented.
Absolutely. Wow. 713. Galena Park.
Okay, see, man, you just never know. Well, how are you, gentlemen? And, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm a jerk. We need to introduce, you know, the man behind the scenes, but one of the greatest, not to be forgotten, okay? We have the manager, Morgan, here with us today. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
So one by one, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, gentlemen?
3D Friends. My name is Dan C. Wright. I go by 3D Friends. It's kind of a moniker I've taken on since 2009. Before that, I was playing in this pop punk band. That's kind of how I got my start with music. All throughout high school, playing Warped Tour, doing all that stuff. Went solo at the end of 2009. That's when I took on the name 3D Friends. And it's been a roller coaster. It's been a long journey. Been doing music for a long time. So lots of ups and downs, and here we are now.
I've seen your discography online, and your resume is very impressive. And now you mentioned Warped Tour. Oh man, those were the days. Can you tell us a little bit about what was your experience like, you know, working in the music scene in the early 2000s, you know, during that time?
Yeah. So, I mean, I started a band my freshman year of high school. So, you know, prior to that, I had only been playing guitar for like a year. And I didn't even play guitar in the band when I first started out. I was like just a standalone singer. I was just the singer of the group, but we kind of got some attention, and we got noticed like very early, very like right away. We had a manager that kind of took us on, who believed in us, who saw something in us, I guess, even though, you know, we were all 14 years old. Put a lot of money into our careers. I'm talking like shopping sprees at Guitar Center. You know, recording with these, you know, really big studios, really nice, you know, Grammy winning producers. And we're just kids, you know. He would give us the keys to his mansion when he would go out of town and just be like, yeah, you guys can stay here and, you know, record, work on your music and wow. Stock the fridge full of alcohol. Maybe I'm giving away too much, but I mean, the point is, we had these people. There was always something that kind of kept me on the path of music. And I had other band members that were like, well, my mom wants me to go to college to be a lawyer, so I can't play bass anymore and stuff like that. But there was just always something that kind of kept us going. So all throughout high school, we were doing that. And then it was my senior year when we are going into my senior year. That summer was the first Warped Tour we got booked on, and so I was like, this is huge. You know, there was like, I can't remember, at least 1,000 people in the audience. Wow. And that was like, at that point, that was like, this doesn't get any better than this. And then we ended up playing it the following year too. So yeah, I mean, like, there's just always been something that kept me on the path of writing music, making music. A year after that, 2009, that's when I went solo. We kind of split ways with that band that I was in. And I started putting out these, you know, bedroom recordings on MySpace and SoundCloud. And it was literally, and I'm not exaggerating, it was exactly 1 year after I started 3D Friends, exactly November 2nd, 2009 is when I started. November 2nd, 2010 is when I randomly, I was living in Austin at the time, randomly get a phone call like MTV. Hey, we heard your song. We'd love to use it for the theme song of our new show, Skins. Wow. And I'm like, I was going to community college at the time, and they're like, yeah, can you come to New York? We'll fly you out. And I'm like, I didn't even think twice.
Right.
Like, absolutely. I dropped all my classes, you know. I didn't even drop it. Just never showed up again. I have no idea. Went to New York, you know. Then at that point, I was like, this is the highlight of my career. It doesn't get any better than this. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough. I've been fortunate to where, like, you know, I've always had something that kept me going. So with music.
Wow. That's incredible, man. You know, so you just always had a clear vision that this is what you wanted to do. And did you always do vocals, or did you play instruments as well previously with your other projects?
Yeah, I mean, eventually I started playing guitar in my old band. And then, you know, along the way, I was getting into producing, like on garage bands and stuff. So I was learning keyboards, and I was learning bass. And at one point I started learning drums, and you know, I just kind of familiarized myself with all the essential instruments, and then eventually, I started producing everything and getting better and better at that. Lucky enough, for me now, though, I have amazing producers that I work with, like Morgan. So I definitely can't even compete with his level of expertise. So it's like, I've kind of, at this point in my career, I've kind of like, I still produce, but I've kind of taken more of a backseat role on that and let other producers kind of handle the music side and more focusing on songwriting.
I saw that you've written a lot of different songs for other artists as well, including the late Rest His Soul, Aaron Carter as well. So what is your process like when it comes to writing stuff for yourself versus other artists? Or is it about the same?
It's about the same. So I guess just to go over like a quick story about that is one of the songs that I wrote for him, or that he ended up using, a song called She Just Wanna Ride. I remember when I wrote that song and I was like, this is good. This is good. And I'll be honest, it was initially like, we got to get The Weeknd. We got to get The Weeknd to do this song. You know, I was like, I could put it out myself, but I think someone else needs to do this. Like this, like I knew it was good, and I took it to Morgan, and we kind of reconstructed everything in his studio, and he obviously made it like a million times better production wise and, you know, redoing it. And I just, yeah, we were just kind of looked at each other and we were like, this is fire. You know, like this is, someone has to do this, someone big. And we kind of held on to it for, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe less, something like that. And then it eventually, you know, got pitched to Aaron, and he fell in love with it. And I remember those early moments where he would go on Instagram Live and he would be playing clips of the song, and he'd be like, yeah, this is my new song. And I'm like, you know, I'd be like ecstatic. I was like, this is crazy. You know, this is crazy. So, I mean, long story short, we, you know, get over to his house and we're working on the album, we're working on this stuff. And we kind of just all had this connection. We hit it off like right away. Morgan, Aaron, and myself, we just kind of just hit it off. And that eventually led to Aaron being such like a great guy that he was. It was like, Danny, I need you on this song with me. Like, and so that elevated it. That just made it even crazier. Cause now it's like, I was already happy with like, hey, I wrote a song for Aaron Carter, but now it's like, hey, I'm featured artist on this song with Aaron Carter. Like, I mean, crazy. And then, you know, that led to the music video and led to, you know, pretty much every song I wrote for Aaron being a featured artist on it as well. So, I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing, really.
Yeah, and I know you did some other tracks for him as well on his final album, Blacklist, as well. You did four songwriting tracks on there as well. So what was the process like from the recording to the production aspect? Did you guys meet in, like, sometimes, you know, people feature in one studio, main vocals in another studio kind of thing?
We pretty much did it all at his house. Aaron was, I don't know, he was a homebody, really, for lack of a better word. He wanted to just do everything right there in his house. Like, I remember there was moments where it was like, hey, you know, you can come to this studio, or like some other artist would be like, hey, come to the studio and we'll record here. And Aaron was like, no, you come to my house. You know, he liked being home. But aside from some of the tracks being like previously produced, like at Morgan's studio, we pretty much did everything right there in the same room with Aaron. So that was a great experience.
Wonderful. Did you guys have similar visions, you know, when it comes to the tracks that you guys worked on together? Or were there ideas that maybe one person added and the other person added later?
Kind of a mix of both. But like I said, the chemistry between all of us was so special that we would be in the room and we would be like just so in sync with everything. We would be... you know, we would be writing something and me and Aaron would literally just be on the couch, like finishing the lines, like looking at each other and like, okay, how about this word? And then like, yes, perfect. Then I would fill in the next line. And there was never any, it was just easy. It was so easy writing with them. And it's funny because I've actually never been that great at writing with other people. Prior to that, I mean, of course there's been, I have, but at the same time, I know I usually work best like by myself, writing lyrics, writing stuff, whatever. But, and I had never worked with someone and it gone as smoothly as it did until working with Aaron and writing with Aaron. So. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna miss that for sure. And all I can do is really cherish those moments I did have. And like, you know, I wish there could be more of those moments. But
rest his soul. Yes. Yeah. So let's talk about some of your solo projects with 3D Friends. You've recently released tracks including First Kiss. And there's two other singles that I can't remember because I have the memory of a goldfish, but,
First Kiss is the most recent one. Before that, I put out, I'll Be Honest with CJ Kodak Black, and then, Young and Famous before that with, Little Uzi Vert. So again, crazy. Like, I don't know how I've gotten this blessed.
So what were those tracks like for you? What was the kind of place you were at musically that brought you to writing those projects?
I think definitely the whole past year's experience, you know, working with Aaron, and like, I mean, Aaron is a literal pop star, you know, like that's how you would describe him, like a pop star. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely, like, you know, working with him as closely as I did this whole past year and putting out songs with him and just being around him and being in that lifestyle, getting more and more used to it, I think that definitely helped. That definitely helped, like, lead me to writing these other tracks. I felt a lot more comfortable in my own skin, I guess. But whenever the little Uzi thing came out, it was like, oh, I can do this. I'm friends with Aaron Carter now. You know, like, I don't know, but you kind of know what I mean. Like, it definitely helped. If I hadn't had those experiences with Aaron, I would have been like, I'm just a, you know, I'm not good enough for this, you know, like something like that. But I don't know. Did that answer the question?
Yes. Yes, of course. So would you say you definitely have learned some things, you know, since, you know, being with other bands before to now being a signed solo artist with your label? You've taken a lot of lessons about your music journey.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every day is a learning experience. So it's like when you go back all the way, you know, how old am I? It's been like 20 years that I've been doing this. Like, I've definitely learned so much from so many people, from so many experiences. It's not something I can pinpoint to one exact thing. It's like just every year, new experiences. I mean, I signed a publishing deal with Sony Music back in like 2012. That's another thing I forgot. And I met so many different, you know, influential people in the music industry, even during that time. And, you know, from songwriters, producers, and managers. It's just been a big collection of experiences that has brought me to where I am now. And by far, one of the relationships I am most grateful for is with Morgan. I mean, because he's literally the hardest working, craziest, like, you know, he's insane. He's amazing. And I mean that in a good way. Not bad insane, good insane. He's the best. So definitely, like, working with him in the past few years has been, working as closely with him as I have has been, you know, a dream come true.
So then you would say having, you know, especially you being, you know, a solo artist, you don't have other bandmates to hang out with or talk to. It's very important to have, you know, a good production family as well, you know, to be in your corner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And he's one of the best. I mean, I'm sure you've seen his credits. They're, you know, unbelievable.
Very impressive. The both of you, very impressive. So you mentioning, you know, you're just as talented as you are, you're still learning, you're still humbling yourself, you know, not saying that you can't push the envelope because you've been showing that consistently, you know. What are the things that you try to, that helps you to stay grounded and to make sure, you know, but maintain professionalism as well, interacting with all these different professionals?
I think just like there's a few different things. Like, so one thing that comes like right off the top of my head is like, it's never, there's kind of like this constant feeling of it never being enough. Definitely I would say like, there's always this, it's never enough kind of feeling, but it's also balanced with like, you know what, if I die right now, I will be happy with what I've accomplished. And it's kind of like, it's that yin and the yang. It's the just finding that balance. So, you know, put out the songs with Aaron. It's like, hell yeah, let's keep going. I'm not just going to sit around and ride off that for the rest of my life. You know, put out a song with Lil Uzi Vert. You're like, yes, amazing. So many people listen, but you just got to keep going. And then it's also, I'm really like close with my family and stuff. And so it's like, I think that kind of helps, like, where am I going with this? How do I explain this? I guess it's like, I don't know, like there's just this balance, like, they see me, like, or the world sees one side of you, right? You doing all this stuff, my fans, my followers, whatever. Oh, he did this. And then at the end of the day, though, I have like this close relationship with my family who see me since I was, you know, in diapers and stuff. Yeah. And so it's like that kind of naturally grounds you into like, we're all just people. We're all just kind of humans. And I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place with this thought, but hopefully you kind of get the idea. I'm going to get some more light in here. If that helps.
No, I can dig it, man.
Yeah, it's just kind of that balance, you know, wanting to keep going, wanting to keep accomplishing more and more, and being happy and content in your life at any given moment in time also. So I think that's kind of important.
And for you being so young, you know, and having such a responsibility on your shoulders and such, you know, a good head on your shoulders, you know, that's very admirable, you know. That shows how serious and passionate you are as an artist.
Thank you.
So, and I mean, bless your heart. I feel for you guys because you be on the road, you know, and missing your family and stuff like that. So how do you find ways to try to balance, you know, so that you can spend time with them, at least for the more special occasions?
I guess being able to travel back and forth a lot. I mean, like that experience of working with Aaron was, I don't know if y'all went over it and, you know, already, but it wasn't always easy, you know. it was kind of difficult at parts, you know, like being there. Morgan, do you know what I'm trying to say? Do you want to take over this question? Like, we went through a lot in order to accomplish what we did with Aaron. I guess that's one way. And there were definitely times where it's like, I just want to go home, you know, but we didn't, we kind of stayed strong and, you know,
is it kind of,
it was an amazing experience. I'm just saying it wasn't all smooth sailing, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So
is it kind of like the perfectionist thing? Like you're both perfectionists. You both wanted to get the best product out.
No, yeah, absolutely.
It was kind of like, let's just get something out.
Mm. Well, it was a mix of both. It was like, I guess, I mean, yeah, because there was moments when Aaron, you know, we'd only have maybe like 15 minutes out of the entire day with him. He would come in and he'd be like, all right, guys, I'm ready. Let's record. And he'd do like a couple takes maybe and be like, all right, we're good. And then you go in the room and, you know, whatever, watch movies. So, yeah. So, I mean, we were working with what we had, but we were also, it was just a lot at times. It was a lot. Let's just put it like that.
So is there any kind of things like techniques or practices you like to do to help to get the best possible recording or the best live performance for you?
Well, for me, I like to give everything to Morgan and let him work his magic because he's so good at that. So I know at the end of the day, he's going to make it sound amazing. But no, I mean, like Well, see, the thing is, like, I mean, with modern recording, it's like you don't need a big studios. You don't need big million-dollar state-of-the-art studios with all the latest gear and sound rooms. Like, it's crazy how far we've come with the whole rise of the bedroom producer and the bedroom recording artist. It's like it doesn't take much to make a really high-quality, polished
record polished. Like it takes a lot less than it did back in the day. So I think as long as you deliver good, like for me, like when I'm recording vocals or something, obviously I don't want like dogs barking in the background or something, but you know, you have a good mic, you get a good recording, and a lot of stuff can be fixed in the edit, like you said earlier. So, you know, that's kind of and we kind of experienced a lot of that even working with Aaron. You know, we didn't have always the quietest background. You know, there was a lot going on in his house at times, and we got what we could at times, and made it, you know, elevated it to where it ended up being. So,
and everyone did their job immaculately, because I heard no dogs barking in any of your tracks. Okay. I heard no airplanes, no nothing.
There were a lot of dogs. So, and I have one of those dogs now too. So.
Aww, sweet thing.
Yeah.
So we actually talked about this in a previous interview, but another track that you also collaborated with another artist, CJ, called Cobain. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I love that song because, you know, it's reminiscent of my pop punk roots. You know, like that's something I would have loved to have performed at Warped Tour back in the day, you know, and it's kind of, you know, there's been that whole resurgence of pop punk in recent years. I think it's still going strong too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with like artists like Machine Gun Kelly and stuff like that. So I think that was kind of the vibe of that song, was that kind of pop punk kind of vibe, but you know, modern and pop and like hip hop elements. And so that song was very, very easy for me to write to. And it was just, yeah, it's fun. I love that song. People message me every day, like, I love Cobain, you know, so that's, yeah, that's awesome. And CJ is an amazing songwriter, amazing vocalist. So I love being on songs with him.
Wonderful, man. Wonderful, man. So I know you said you're from Houston, lived in Austin, and now you just Mr. Worldwide because, you know, making music for the whole world, you know, kind of thing. But how would you say your music has been received in your hometown, or the comparison of the styles? You know, like they like to say, Houston, we got,
I'll answer for Dan.
Okay.
Okay. I remember before I met Dan and I went to San Antonio, and you know, you might go out and he might introduce me to some of his friends. So be, oh, it's Dan. You know, we did some music. Now, when you go to San Antonio, and we might go out to a restaurant or bar, they're like, oh my God, it's Dan. And they shake his hand. That's how. And then they're like, oh, Dan. They even come up to me and talk to me. And I'm like, I don't know these people, Dan. He's like, I told you. I told you.
Well, people are excited about the whole, you know, everything I've done in recent years, for sure. People get excited about it. You know, Aaron Carter and, you know, just all these big names. It's like, it's definitely not an everyday thing that people get to experience, or as they say, like, yeah, you know, like you, this guy worked with Aaron Carter, this guy worked, you know, and they get excited about it. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still excited about it too, but you know, just living it and being in it, you get a little more used to it. But you know, when you tell someone else that, like, it's almost unbelievable. So.
Indeed. And, you know, it's, we don't have enough coverage about different genres of artists in Texas. You know, a lot of it is mostly hip hop rap. So it's cool to hear about pop artists, you know, that are doing their thing coming out of Texas, you know, and making wave. And who's not excited about Hometown Heroes?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, that didn't just happen in San Antonio. That also happened in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That also happened in lot when we would go out there. You know, people was asking, oh my God, Dan, I saw that on the internet. I saw this on this. I read this article. They would stop Dan there as well. They would probably stop him. And because he's been in so many different articles and stuff. And this is not anything positive here, but when Aaron passed, that it was on so many different TV things and all of this. And now it's whenever he goes out, they definitely know. I saw you in that music video with him, or I saw when he was on Entertainment Tonight, or I saw on this magazine or this. They know, they would know, I seen you. I'm like, well, that's elevated him a lot. I guess that's not the most positive thing that happened, but they recognize Dan a lot more than the past.
Yeah. I mean, whenever he passed, it was literally, I had to turn off all my notifications because aside from everybody messaging me, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I heard about Aaron. I mean, it was literally a constant stream of messages. And even when I would go out in public, I'd go to the local bars or whatever, it was constant. It was like everybody, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And, you know, that went on for a good month at least, you know, if not longer. I mean, it still comes up. People I haven't seen in a while. Came up the other day. I was at Walmart and I saw a friend that I used to go to high school with, and he's like, oh my God, man, I'm so sorry about Aaron. Like, you know, and so that's never gonna probably stop. It's probably never gonna go away, really.
But you know, like in the Olympics when they're running and they have to pass the torch on to the next runner. You know, that's just that's the cycle. You know, we don't discredit the previous runner. We know that they were wonderful athletes and they're going to get their gold, but it's your turn now. It's your turn. You got to go run that mile, baby. And you're doing it. You're killing it. You're on tour right now in Texas, going all over doing shows right now. Is that correct?
Yeah. It hasn't started officially yet, but pretty much like next week it does.
Oh, so wonderful. Oh, are you excited?
Yeah, I'm ready. I mean, touring is definitely the hardest part about being an artist. 100%. It's, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is the hardest part, but it's also one of the most rewarding and, you know, one of the funnest parts too. So
is it because you have to stay away from loved ones for so long on the road?
Yeah, it's everything. It's just being on the road. You know, it's crazy. It's not, you know, being away from home, mm-hmm. being away from your bed, you know.
Yeah.
It's driving all, you know, for hours and hours and then really not really having any downtime. Mm-hmm. So I've become a man of leisure in recent years. So I like wearing sweatpants all day and, you know, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it though. It's going to be fun. I love performing. I mean, those were literally the two greatest feelings in the world for me is, and it's hard to tell which one wins, but one of them is when I write something, like it just like when I write something that I know is good, like when I'm, whether it's like I'm producing something and I'm writing a line and I'm like, oh shit, that's good. That feeling is insane. It's what keeps me going. It's what keeps me like, It's literally what keeps me going. I love that feeling when you know you wrote something good. And the other feeling is the end of a show, right before you get off stage and everyone's, you know, applauding and screaming. And it's like, and you just put on this crazy show and you're covered in, you know, drenched in sweat, and, you know, whatever. That feeling, it's like, it's, That's my high. Those are my drugs of choice right there. So it's like those two feelings keep me going. So
100%, man. I never experienced it as an artist, but I've worked as a stagehand, and I've never been so happy to sweat my off, you know, on a black stage. You know, doesn't matter if I was building video walls, audio PAs, lighting. I was just like, this stage is going to be immaculate because so and so is going to come out here, and all they need to worry about is just stepping into their stage and enjoying the show.
Yeah, just put it on a show. So,
I love
putting on a show, even, you know, even not just music, just in everyday life, you know, I like entertaining people. I like engaging with people, just even if I'm at the grocery store or whatever. I love influencing someone's life in a positive way. And that's, you know, that goes for all, you know, all across the board, but especially with music and stuff. So it's just, it feels good. It feels good when you can bring some joy to somebody, whether it's through music or just through kindness, through laughter, whatever it is. It's like, I love that feeling. So,
well, y'all are all doing a fantastic job, okay? Because music heads like me can't get enough of it, okay? Like you said earlier, my drug of choice.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, man.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been fun. I'm glad we got to do it. Like I said, I've been looking forward to this. So.
Likewise, man. Do you have any last little bit of advice for the listeners?
Don't worry, be happy. I don't know. Just be happy, man. Life is short. Make the most out of it. Tell people you love them, and you know, just try not to worry. Try not to worry about things. Work hard, you know, and enjoy life. Yeah, it's the only one we got, as far as we know. So,
well, you heard it from Mr. Dan, 3D Friends yourself. Love life. Love people, and go and support your local artist. Okay, go to shows, go buy some CDs, go download whatever y'all crazy cats are doing now, because that is the business.
Yep, and they will appreciate it. We appreciate the support and the love.
The artist will appreciate it.
Not easy doing this, so when we get some love and we feel appreciated, it's
an appreciation for the artist as well as the brain. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.